Good morning, everybody. Thank you for being here this morning. I had a lot of questions this past week because Carrie and I were gone and Lauren Holland filled in for us. And no, she can't be your pastor. You're stuck with us for a while. But thank you, Lauren. They're so good. So we've been in this really exciting series during the month of November. We always try to pick something very intentionally to talk about during the month of November because, elections have become a bigger thing this year, hasn't always been part of the reason for picking those things. What has been the rhythm of people's lives is holidays and family, more family interactions, good and bad family interactions, the loss of things, people feel it, joy, depression, stress, financial anxiety, all those sort of things. And so we try to talk about something in November that can help us kind of be centered, you know, and center our lives and be able to ground us a little more deeply in the things that matter and prepare us for to face the days ahead. And in doing so, I think it also kind of ends up working well, whatever we've been planning in November to also deal with whatever other anxieties that our world comes up with. And so we've been talking about the exciting news, the exciting concept of responsibility during the month of November. And everybody gets so excited about responsibility, right? It's thrilling, it's exciting. But it's actually good, really good news. A really good word. It's a good concept. It's a very good thing. And we've been unpacking like why that is. So first week, I talked to you about this biblical concept of getting your house in order. There's other colloquial ways to say you got to get your stuff together first, you know, but that's a biblical concept that we don't see somebody that they're just like a hot mess, you know, and the regular managing of their life. And we think, you know what? If we just promoted this person and gave them more responsibility and more authority, man, they would really start to soar and they would really thrive and they would really do well, you know? We operate like we believe that way sometimes, but it doesn't work out well. So the biblical concept is that before we promote other people, we need to look and see, are they managing the things that they've got already? Are they being responsible in the small things? Do they have their house in order? And that's true for you and me also when we want to begin changing the world, you know? Sometimes it's easier, it feels better for us to go and try to go and fix Tony's life or Damon's life instead of dealing with the mess that's me, you know, and say, hey, your house is a mess when my bedroom is a wreck, you know? And there's mold growing in my sink because I haven't washed the dishes and just all these things. That's not true of our house, by the way, but the concept is still there, that a lot of times we want to go and fix things in the world before we've set in order, we've made things better in our own life, and then we can keep working on making things better and making things better, but we work from the inside out. Sometimes our sense of belonging and our ego says that we need to engage the big things. It's not just trying to meddle in other people's lives, but it's also our insecurities and our ego that says, hey, we need to go and do these big things and engage these big things because when we're not ready for it yet, we're not in position for it yet, because we're trying to establish a sense of value and self-worth and those sort of things. But it's an important biblical concept that we get our own house in order first. And then Lauren last week, she did a really great job of talking to us about how to begin that. Talking about a lady named Patty and just using that as a way to help us understand when we want to make our lives better and the world better, we need to start with us and deal with our own issues and deal with our own junk, and then it moves out from there. Because whoever you are, you're going to influence the world around you. And if you're a hot mess, you know, if you're codependent and or you're just mean, or egotistical or insecure or any of those things that are just very common for human beings, then those parts of you are going to affect the other parts of the people around you, you know? And so one of the places that we can always work on making the world better is looking at our own junk and becoming healthier, more sane, more whole. Finding our life in Jesus Christ and letting Him be our healer. And living our life like one beggar telling another where to find bread. And so, this week, I'm talking to you about the gift of responsibility. What a gift, what a blessing that is. So Jesus is talking to this group of people. Some of them are doing okay in life. Some of them have had plenty of food to eat and they've got houses to live in and things have been going really well for them. But a lot of the people that he's talking to, they know what it's like to go hungry. They know what it's like to watch a lot of their friends and family die, either from violence or from political things or from diseases that they don't understand, for people to live their life with suffering from diseases and ailments that can't be cured. They know what it's like to go without. They know what it's like to be an oppressed people that are politically oppressed and oppressed because of their racial group and their ethnic group. To an extent that almost none of us can really understand. To be an occupied people. The Israelites were an occupied people. And they were a subjugated ethnic group with limited rights. And so the Son of God, the Rescuer of God, Emmanuel, God with us, has come to them to deliver, to give them good news. And I think if we were the Son of God, if we were the Rescuer, if we were the one coming to them to give them good news, our tendency might be to give them some sort of good news that might be like this. Hey everybody, I know life's been hard. You got a lot going on. You got a lot to deal with. You're trying to manage and handle a lot of things. You've got a lot of pains and hurts and hang-ups. So I've got some good news for you. God isn't going to hold you responsible for anything. God just loves you and doesn't want to add anything to your plate. So don't worry. Not you, not anybody else is ever going to be held responsible to God for what you've been given. I don't want to add anything to your plate. And we would tell people that because we think that that would be good news. We would think that that's what we would want to hear. We would think that, and maybe we even think that that's what we're entitled to, right? We think, you know, it would be wrong. It would be an awful God that would try to hold people that are struggling through life and say, hey, you're accountable. You're going to be held responsible for what you've been given. That sounds harsh and scary and mean. Unkind. Sounds hard and not soft. And we want a soft God. And we think that that would be what people would need. But here's what Jesus said when he was trying to tell people about how life works best. It's a lot of what his teachings are. It's about how life actually works, how life actually is. And what a gift that is to be able to get that from the Bible, to be able to get that from Jesus, because we've only got one life, right? And it really stinks to like have to learn everything the hard way, through the hard knocks. You're like, man, if I had to do this over again, I would do it this way. Or getting to those moments at 25 or 35 or 75 and saying, ah, man, what a great thing to know. If I only knew this all these years ago, I would do it differently. And sometimes we never figure those things out. And we're living our life with a flawed map. With a flawed picture of how life works. And Jesus over and over again, God over and over again, is trying to tell us, hey, I'm laying before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life. Choose life. This is how it works. And that's what Jesus is doing here. And he's like, this is how life works. This is how things really are and how they're really going to be. It's like this story where a master goes away, but before he goes away, he's got three servants, and he gives each one according to their ability, talents, money, wealth, opportunities. He gives them good things according to their ability. And he goes away for a long time. And then after the servants have kind of given up wondering, maybe thinking, given up wondering when the master might come back, maybe started thinking like, I don't know when he's going to come back. Maybe stopped wondering about that. He's gone for a long time. And then all of a sudden the master returns unexpectedly. And the first servant who was given the most, and the second servant who was given the second most, runs up to the master and says, "Master, you trust you. Let me give you an account of what I've been given." The master calls him into account, and they say, "Look, you gave me 5,000 talents. Here, I've made 10." The other servant says, "You gave me 3,000 talents. Here, I've got 6. To get those numbers right, no, 2 and 4. I got 2 more. I saw that on your face, Joy, that I got that wrong. Thank you. Thank you for your visual cue." And the Master, God, Jesus, says, "Well done, my good and faithful servants. You have been faithful in a few things. Now I will put you in charge of, I will make you responsible for so much more. Come and enjoy your Master's happiness. The third servant, Master calls him into account. He had buried what the Master had given it. He squandered it. He didn't do anything necessarily bad with it. He didn't do anything necessarily evil with it. He just squandered it. He just wasted it. He just stuck it in a hole. Like, literally, you know, we literally learned that that's not what to do in our finance classes with Jordan and Biscuits and Budgets. You don't stick stuff under your bed. You don't stick your treasure under the bed. You don't bury it in a hole. You put it to work. That's right. I think if I understood what you said, that's right. Put it to work. And the master says, "You wicked and you lazy servant." The servant had said, "I knew that you were harsh. I knew that you collected where you hadn't earned. And so I just buried it." The master says, "You wicked and lazy servant. You should have at least put it, given the money to the bankers, even if you weren't going to do anything else. Just give it to the bankers, and so I would get at least a little bit of interest on it. But instead, you just squandered it. You did nothing with what you were given." And the master had taken what was given to the third servant and gave it to the first. Jesus is essentially telling us, hey, good news. He's telling these people that know what it's like to suffer, that know what it's like to for life to feel unmanageable, to have a lot going on, to know about suffering and disease and oppression and all of these sort of things. And he comes to these people, the Son of God, and says, hey, I want to give you some good news for your life. God's going to hold you responsible for all that you've been given. And the reason that's good news is because your life matters, and your life matters to God. See, we don't have these words, we don't have this teaching, because Jesus wrote this stuff down. We have this teaching because followers of Jesus wrote this down. They received it as good news to be passed on to you and me. It said to a people that were largely at the bottom of life, hey, your life matters. What you do with your life matters. It matters to God, and God is going to hold you accountable for the things that you've been given. And the opposite isn't true. It's not good. It's not good news to say, "Hey, your life. I'm not going to hold you responsible for what you've been given because your life doesn't matter. I don't care what you do with your time and your money and your attention and what you give your heart to, what you give your affection to. Your life matters to God. It is infused with purpose and meaning. I gave you a wonderful treasure, a wonderful gift, and it's infused with purpose and meaning, whether you decide to use it or not. However you decide to use it, it matters, and it will have an effect on this world. People at the bottom of life, he said that to. People that were some of the most powerless people in the empire. You, your life matters. And because your life matters, God is going to hold you accountable for what you have been given. And it had a positive effect on these people. And the followers of Jesus took this teaching to heart, and they went on to be a part of the seeds of one of the most profound movements to ever shape human existence. Because they believe the teaching of Jesus, that your life matters. It doesn't matter whether you're at the top or the bottom, that the decisions that you make, that you're going to be held accountable to God for what you've been given, because your life matters. What you've been given matters. We wouldn't want the opposite news, even though we think sometimes that we would. Jesus is telling these people that you're important. God is telling you that you are important. You are put here for a purpose. You've been given your wonderful brains and your emotions and your talents and all of these things for a purpose. God gave these things to you for a purpose, to be able to cultivate those things in you and to be able to cultivate good things in the world. And you affect the world around you. You affect people's lives. And God wants you to use those things for love and goodness and justice and truth. And then when you squander those things, or even worse, when you use those things that create oppression and injustice and hardship and dysfunction, it breaks God's heart. And we will all be held accountable. There's a few roadblocks I just want to hit. Snags. That can kind of get us caught up on not really embracing like that this is good news, and that you and I, we need to live our lives like it matters. Like it matters, like it matters, like it matters to God. What we do today, what we do with our talents, and living our lives as if we are going to be held accountable to King Jesus, Almighty God. And that is a gift, and it helps us focus our lives and live our lives well, and it brings joy and purpose and meaning to us. That's a gift, this teaching. So one of those snags is toxic responsibility issues. And this is when we feel responsible, we take on responsibility for things that we don't have any control over. For the things that our kids do, especially our adult children, for things that are happening in our office, for some things in our relationships, for all of those other things that we don't have control or responsibility over. And sometimes we're not even taking action on those things, but we take on the emotional weight of that, and we feel some sort of shame or guilt or whatever for things that are outside of our control. And so this message of responsibility, it feels like a burden and a curse, because we're in this habit of taking on responsibility for things that are outside of our control. And so when we think God's going to hold us responsible, we think that God's going to hold us responsible for things that we don't have any authority over, we don't have any power over. But remember in the text, remember in the story, that the master came and he held people responsible. He gave them according to their abilities. One, he gave people talents and gifts according to their abilities. And he held them accountable for only what they had been given. The master didn't hold anybody accountable for something somebody else had been given. Right? God has only given to you what you are capable of managing well. And God is not going to hold you accountable for something that somebody else has been given. There's a dysfunctional situation that you might run into in your relationships and work and things like that, that break this rule that nobody should ever be held responsible for more than what they have authority over. And nobody and everyone's the level of authority that they have should also match the amount of responsibility that we hold them to. Those things should always be equal. right? So if somebody has a lot of authority, they should also be held to a very high standard of responsibility. And if somebody, if we're giving somebody a lot of responsibility for a particular task or a situation, we should also give them the authority to accomplish that task. Does that make sense? Has anybody ever been in a dysfunctional situation where you're being held to, people are holding you responsible for more than what, more authority than you have? It stinks, right? I want you to accomplish this, but I'm only giving you this. And we also see in our world that it's really dysfunctional and unhelpful when, and lends to corruption, when people that have a lot of power are held to a low standard of responsibility, right? The more authority you have, the more responsibility you should have. And the more responsibility you have, the more authority you should have. God is not, as we can see clearly in this text, into giving anybody more responsibility than what they can manage. And God is not about holding people accountable for things that are outside of their control. Another thing that we get caught up on is that we have, a lot of us have negative images of God. And we think that God is out to get us and God is out to smash us. And so we think that the last thing that we want at the end of our days and over our life is to be accountable to somebody else, to be accountable to God. We just want to be left alone because we think that if God ever found out, if God is in charge, God is going to make us miserable. And it's not true. God is out to steal our life. It's not true. We found out through these relatively new fields of psychology and sociology in recent years that being held responsible and taking on responsibility in your life doesn't lead long-term to unhappiness, but that is actually the path to long-term happiness. I mentioned before, we used to think that fasting was oppressive and bad for you, right? Like, oh man, God's out to get you. He's telling us to fast and to pray. Well, guess what? Some of the very best things you can do for your own well-being and your body and your soul is fasting and praying. And if you want to live a life that leads towards depression and meaninglessness, then just shirk and avoid responsibility at every turn. We know that people that just live for fun and entertainment in their 20s versus people that take on a bunch of responsibility in their 20s, long term, like having children and taking on challenging tasks with their jobs and other things like that, that long term they end up having way more happiness, the people that take on responsibility, than the people that just tried to live their life on a cruise ship during the decade of their 20s. We know that. We know that, you know? So if you're looking at Facebook and you're seeing, or Instagram or whatever it is that people do these days, and you're saying, hey, there's all these people, they're living their, they're doing this. They have a lot more happiness in their life. Maybe they do in the short term. But long term, responsibility leads to long term happiness. God's not out to get you. It's a gift for God to say and to treat you like all that you've been given matters and that who you are matters. Sometimes we get caught up on this Jesus that in this story calls people you wicked and lazy person. Maybe it hits too close to home. Maybe we're squanderers. Maybe we're selfish. Maybe we're lazy. But it's a gift to know how life is and how God is instead of not knowing. Because it gives us a chance to change, right? You don't want to live your life being lazy and self-centered. I don't want to live my life lazy and self-centered. But guess what? Sometimes I am lazy and self-centered. And it's good to know that there is a King that will hold us responsible for our lives and that is actually the path to purpose. And this fear of God that we have of God being harsh. I think it's really important to know that the people that knew God best, that knew the Master best in this story, were the ones that rushed out to see Him. When the Master showed up, they were the ones that rushed out to see Him. It was the ones that had a bad image of God that hid and that squandered and that wasted their life. You know, sometimes I get off track not because of wickedness or selfishness or laziness, but just being distracted. Just being distracted. We have so much entertainment opportunities in our life, more than anybody has ever had ever on the face of the earth, by a long shot. There are so many people and so many things coming after you to entertain you. There's so much bread and circus around us. It's just unbelievable. So we get distracted. A lot of us also get distracted by the news. And it steals our life. There's a years and years ago, I learned a really valuable lesson from an Army officer on talking about how to deal with complexity at speed and making decisions. And he said, you only need to have enough information to make a decision. That's it. You only need enough information to make a decision. And when it comes to what's happening in the news, on any, whether it's today or 10 years ago or 10 years from now, you only need enough information to make a decision, right? And most of us, just for taking in news, we're just taking it in. We're not going and looking and problem solving and using critical thinking and trying to answer the questions that we have. We're tuning into our regularly scheduled programming, right? And when we give too much of our life to that, it builds up all this anxiety in us. And it also distracts us not from the life that we have and also the power that we have. Because what history tells us and what the Bible tells us and what Jesus tells us is that, man, being distracted in that way is stealing your power. That life, that your power happens and you're in the small things. It's in your relationships. It's in the things that you actually have power and control over. And if we get obsessed about the things that we can't control, and it would take a whole lot of effort to even understand and get to the bottom of, and when we get to the bottom of it, we can't do anything about it, that we're wasting our life. I think it's a wonderful tool of the devil, an evil tool of the devil, to be able to steal our lives by distracting us with, look over here, look over here, look over here, danger, threat, it's just around the corner. When your real significance, your real power, look at what you can do there. That's what you're going to be held accountable for. That's what I'm going to be held accountable for. And there's a lot of good that you and I can do in the world. There's a lot of things that you can make better. There's a lot that you can make better. There's a lot that you can make better. But if we spend all of our life, if we're spending hours and hours a day staring at screens and watching the news and being entertained, we're not going to make things better that we could make better, that God made us capable and powerful enough to make better. Maybe it's some mix of all of those things. Whatever it is that's hanging you up from embracing this wonderful gift that the God of the universe believes in you, gave good things to you, put good things in you, and is going to hold you accountable for what you've been given, because who you are and what you've been given matters, then deal with that. Because your life needs it, and the world needs it. Who you are matters. This teaching of Jesus has been a gift to me for a long time. I tend to, my default is I tend to take more responsibility for things that are outside of my control. And I tend to see God sometimes as a harsh God. And so to be able to go back to this scripture over and over again and see that God isn't a harsh God, that God gives people according to what their abilities are, and God calls us into account for what we've been given and doesn't call us into account for what anyone else has been given, continues to set me free, continues to set my heart aright. and continues to help me focus on the things that I can actually control and to the good that I can do to the world, in the world and the people around me. And it's not small for me. I can do a lot of good, and it's not small for you. You can do a lot of good. You can make a lot of things better, and I can too. But not if we feed into the lies that would steal our attention, that would steal our focus, that would steal our life's energy. Jesus is teaching. God wants this to be a gift to you too. And I don't know how it needs to hit you. I don't know how you need to take this home tonight or this morning. That's probably a sign that I'm tired saying this is tonight. But it's a gift that your life matters. And that if you live your life like you're going to be held accountable to the King of Glory that loves you and knows you and has given you so much power and authority and abilities, then your life will be a blessing, not just to you, but to the whole world around you. A few questions and then we'll stop. Do I manage my time and my attention and my finances and my relationships like they matter to God? Do I see myself rushing up to God like those first two servants? Or hiding from God and being angry with God and resentful with God like the third servant? What is it in me that needs healing? What is it in you that needs healing for you to be some related to your image of God, for you to be somebody that at the end of all things would rush up to the Master? Would rush up to the Master. Where is it in your life that you need to take more responsibility for what you've been given? Where is it that you need to trust God more? Let's pray.